Hi, everybody. Yeah, fuck it. That stays. Okay. All right. I'm 3 seconds in. I've already swore. This is a bit of a tale of how the podcast is going to go today. Anyways, quick introduction to today's episode, because this is a really random one. So much so that I've called it the random episode, because the guest I have had on, it's not really a guest, more than a conversation, fly on the wall kind of episode, is with one of my best mates, Paul Dermody, who's been on the podcast in the past. We did an episode, Life Skills for Running a Successful Business, which is an awesome episode. Definitely go check that out as well. But this came off the back of, I was actually due to do an interview with another person, but I think we got our times mixed up in terms of, I was trying to get Mountain Time with GMT, and Greenwich Mean Time with the, I don't know, clocks going forward or clocks going back. Anyways, I ended up not getting the podcast interview at that time. So I text Paul at about 15 minutes after I realized that we hit the times wrong and said, "Are you free?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Let's jump on Skype. Do you want to record a podcast?" So that's effectively what we did. So this is the most random episode that I've recorded. It's a conversation, effectively. And you can tell from, I kind of started off, and we both started off kind of like, right, let's, provide value up front, talk it kind of interview style. And then about a quarter of the way in, it just became a conversation, and we both kind of forgot we were recording a podcast. So we talked a bit of everything here. This is very much like how our conversations go when I sit down and me and Paul talk. He's one of those people that I kind of go into flow states with where you lose track of time completely. And we talked to everything from 80-20 principle for escapism, asking yourself what you're doing mindlessly, the books that changed our lives, using negativity as fuel, thoughts on fat shaming, not making decisions in emotional states, a little bit of everything. We kind of jumped back and forth. This is a really, really random one, so I'm really looking forward to hearing how you find this one. I know you loved, anyone that listened loved the first episode with Paul. And again, there's a reason he's one of my five people. He's one of my inner circle, because he's just so engaging and always makes me think on a higher level. So I'm really curious how you find this episode, because this is one that if you enjoy, let me know, and let Paul know, and we'll definitely make it something more frequent. If not, just hit me up and go, yeah, episode's all right, but stick to the other formats. So I'm really curious, because again, the podcast, we're 180, 190 episodes in now. It's very much a starting to find its own feet with terms of format, and I live by the philosophy, the Mark Zuckerberg Facebook philosophy of, move fast and break things. And that's what the podcast was initially. So Q&As, lives, interviews, and I just went off feedback on what people like. So this may be a new format that I introduce into the podcast, or maybe a one-off and never do it again. So your feedback is going to base that. So if you liked it, let me know. If you hated it, let me know that, because it's equally as valuable piece of information for me to have. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this fly on the wall conversations with one of my best friends on the planet, Paul Dermody.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Even though today we may not be talking fitness, nutrition, mindset, I have no idea what we're going to talk about, because I am talking with one of my best friends in the entire world, Paul Dermody, because I think I got my times wrong with another interview guest trying to figure out mountain time conversion to GMT. And my guest was a no-show, and I messaged Paul. I was like, "Are you free?" He was like, "Yes." I was like, "Do you want to call?" He said, "Yes." So here we are. Paul, welcome to the podcast.
What a lovely way of telling me I am plan B for the evening, my friend. But thanks so much. I really do appreciate it.
Mate, you're always plan A. It's just more unforeseen, in fairness.
That's all good.
Mate, just to give a quick introduction, some of you will already recognize Paul's voice from an actual scheduled podcast that we had, talking about life skills for fitness professionals, for starting business, etc. Great episode that we did. So today's going to be really, really free flow. Paul, tell tell everybody a bit where you're at, what you're doing right now, and we're just going to literally ebb and flow. This is going to be a real fly on the wall, because I would imagine after the first 3 or 4 minutes, we're just going to start talking back and forth, and just the record button is pressed, and the edit will not go ahead because we don't edit anything.
Well, thanks, Brian. So right now, as we speak, I'm in my sitting room in Barcelona. I'm just back from the laundry room where you text me. I was doing one-to-one personal training for anybody who's heard the podcast, and now I'm in Spain doing just online. Worked with and indeed under Brian's guidance for a significant enough amount of time that it changed the trajectory of my life. And here we are on a podcast, my friend, and I'm just really looking forward to chatting with you, and hopefully whoever's listening gets a bit of value from it.
Yeah, this one's going to be a little bit of a different one, because I'm going to go off normal interview mode now and literally just chat to you, and anyone that's listening, just hit some feedback, because this is going to be really, really different, because I'm literally just catching up. Paul, since you've been in Barcelona, we caught up a couple of weeks ago when you were home. Just in your message, you were talking about your realization that you had at the Nou Camp at the Barcelona game last night. I just kind of want to explore that with you, just myself. Can you tell everyone listening what you messaged me just before we got online? And I just want to kind of ebb and flow back and forth with you on that one.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And I'm almost hoping that this isn't interview based, because I love when you chime in. I love the way you think and I love the way you speak. But when I got home a couple of weeks ago, you recommended a book to me. You recommended Sapiens, I'm sure you'll recall. And I think it's an incredible book, dude. And it very much ties in with kind of a stream of philosophical thoughts I've been having on life lately. Like I was at the Nou Camp last night, 100,000 people watching Lionel Messi running around, 11 other lads, and they couldn't catch him. And it was escapism. It's my form of escapism. It's the one thing I love to do each week, completely forget about the world. And, you know, you almost are Lionel Messi for 90 minutes, you know, like for some reason I want him to score. I don't know why, I shouldn't care, but I do. But it was last night, I was like, everything is almost like a state of imagination that we've all just agreed on, you know, like money and economy. That's very much a theme in Sapiens. But watching 22 footballers as escapism last night was literally 2018 version of watching emperors and lions and people getting absolutely slaughtered in the Colosseum back all those years ago, which for me is just, it's crazy that although human, we've all evolved, like the inherent need for escapism, just like proportionate to where we are in society, just remains the same throughout human history, really.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, the thing is with escapism, and we've had this discussion several times, that it's when escapism is a choice that you've made right now, and it's not the majority. I like the Pareto principle, the 80-20, and having 80% of your life, you're like, right, I'm really, really happy, but I need this 20% to escape into football or into movies or into, you know, Love Island or Big Brother or whatever your form of escapism is. But it's when it becomes kind of the majority that we spoke before, because we're very, very similar in the sense that when I lived in London, I was really unhappy with my life. I was really unhappy with the job I was in and just kind of the way my life was going in general. But I could tell you who was starting in the Arsenal reserve team, because I was completely escaped through that. And it's when that becomes your 80%, it can be a bit of a problem. That's why it resonated when you said it to me about escapism, how we have this desire and a need, but I also think we have a desire and nearly a responsibility that we can't let it take over completely. It nearly needs to be the 20%.
You're spot on with the Pareto distribution, the 80-20 rule. I don't know a man who, and this is just the truth, I don't know a man more than you who personifies the concept of, and God Almighty, if there was ever profound simplicity, like you are what you put into your body and your mind. Like I, similar to you now, I very much nourish my soul, my mind and my body daily. That doesn't mean I'm always going to eat broccoli, always going to read books and always going to meditate or any of that stuff. But it means that the 80-20 rule, I put 80% of my life's focus, similar to you, on the person that I need to become to level up, painful as it fucking is, because having somebody, it is, man, it doesn't, we talk about it a lot, like, and I want to be just raw and honest on this, we are the first to call each other on each other's niggling bad habits, and it's not nice to be like, hey Brian, if you didn't do that, you'd be a lot more fucking better off, or vice versa, or Paul, you'd be a lot smarter if you read books, you stupid knob. And I'm like, yeah, you're so right. Like, you're so right. I'm like, oh, I don't read. I'm cool. I'll be smart in spite of books. And they're like, no, no. You'll be a lot smarter if you read. And it's a story I'm telling myself, dude. It's like, I'll put on a YouTube video for 60 minutes, but still think the day is a bit too short to read 15 minutes of a book a day. Well, I would have until that was brought to my attention, you know?
But it's so important. Like, I, in the process of writing, which will actually be my third book now, because the GA book is looking like it's going to be out before Christmas. I was speaking about Inner Circle, and that I've given, and for those of you listening who are unfamiliar, I forget, I'm starting to kind of fall out of that interview into the conversation. But Paul is very much one of my inner circle, and is, again, a pillar, a foundation pillar of how I'm able to achieve and do the things that I do, because I have somebody that I can turn to and be like, look, Paul, am I being a fucking idiot here? Or am I not seeing this the way it really is? Like, for example, Paul is a big, you've been a huge, and I've said this to you several times in the past, the way you handle people, your relationship with Orla, your girlfriend, your other half, the way you handle personal relationships with people is something that I aspire to, because of the self-awareness that you're able to bring to, am I being a dick right now? Or am I telling myself a story right now? And I'm very good in that side with business, but not as good in the personal relationship side. And to be able to have somebody in your life, and I use you, where I'm like, look, Paul, am I being fucking weak here? Like, you know, one of the things we talk on is the Jordan Peterson philosophy, that don't do things that make you weaker. And that's something that I have to turn to you on, because I'm like, look, Paul, am I being a knob here? Is this not supporting the end goal? And one of the things that we'll say is, are your actions mapping to your ambition? And it's so important to have somebody who can realign you when you're falling off track. And I just want to kind of bring that back, because I think we do that for one another. And for anyone listening, just try and provide value to kind of come in and out of conversational mode. It's very important that you have somebody who doesn't tell you you look pretty, who, when you are fat in a dress, tells you you look fat in a dress, or the figurative version. You know, what's the thing you say? You'd rather be punched by the truth than, what's your quote?
Yeah, I just always say I'd rather be slapped harshly by the truth than kissed softly by a lie. Because I think you're like, one of the greatest lies that we get told is, oh, you're fine the way you are, if you get me, or it's cool, you know, don't worry about it. Like, oh yeah, like you said, you look pretty in that dress, or like, I really fucked up on my diet. Oh, it's fine. Go crazy and start again Monday. No, it's not fine. You didn't plan on doing that. You don't look great in the dress. You're 3 stone overweight, and you're not as smart as you could be. You're being a dick to people. You're numbing out to the reality of the situation of what it is. And if you're really, really, really fortunate, you'll take my venomous words. This sounds really harsh, because we'd never be this brutal to each other. But the truth of the matter is, if I can say to you, or you say to me, like, Paul, you don't spend enough time on your business, do more. And I'd be like, yes, you're absolutely right. That's so true. Thank you for not telling me I'm smarter than I am. No?
Yeah, like, the exact same. You do the same thing to me when I'm, because I would get kind of sucked into that tornado of, right, I'm achieving here in the business side, I'm earning all this money, or I'm, you know, getting these amount of numbers on, you know, insert podcast, book, etc. here. And you're like, well, how are you getting on with that personal relationship thing? And I'm like, oh, it's not really important right now. And you're like, is it not important? Do you not need it? Or are you just telling yourself a story? And it just kind of realigns. And we're very brutally honest with each other. We had this conversation when you were home for a weekend recently, that one of the things I've had to work on is my gray area, because we're both so black and white. And I never want someone to sugarcoat something with me. I want you to tell me where I'm not, you know, you're not fucking pretty. You're 3 stone overweight. I want someone to tell me that. And I'm aware that everybody isn't like that. But it's so important that you don't fool yourself, and you're the easiest person to fool, because you'll fucking wrap your own story. You're, oh, well, I'll just cheat now. You know, I'll just have this chocolate bar, or I'll just skip that workout, or, you know, I'll just not work on my business. It'll sort itself out. I'm happy in the moment right now, or I won't. I'll go on to Tinder or insert fucking dating app here, and I'll just randomly scroll and have no intention and just see what happens. And it's the high end. If you don't know what you want, you'll take whatever you get. And just to kind of bring it back on that, I think it's so important, because, as you said, the difference between having somebody that tells you, look, this is what you need to do, and having the self-awareness yourself to be like, oh shit, do you know what, I actually could be a better version of me right now if I owned it, than telling yourself a story to make yourself feel better. Like, there's a big difference between, do you want to feel better or do you want to fucking get what you want to get? And I think it's very important not to get wrapped up in a story that doesn't get you to where you want to be.
Yeah, but I also would give you tremendous amount of credit. And if I'm honest, I won't play false modesty, both of us tremendous amount of credit for seeking. We want the answer. Like, you want to be exposed as the chaotic. I think I've been listening to too much Jordan Peterson, but I nearly want to get exposed as the chaotic, unorganized mess of a man that I am, so to speak, in that given area of my life, so I can seek to bridge the gap. Because the dirty little secret that society doesn't tell us is that, yeah, you're probably a mess, but so are all of us. And we've all got one or two habits. Like you said, we all have one thing right now. This very second we could stop, that if we stopped, our lives would be significantly better because it's making us weaker. We all have that. And the second thing is, like, you, I kind of even half lost my train of thought there. But basically the where I'm getting there is we're all really chaotic and unorganized. I think the greatest disillusion we do is tell ourselves, oh, we're the only one. Like, oh, XYZ has his life together and it's perfect. Fuck, I'm a million miles away from there. Like, I don't see that way at all. I think some of us just happen to naturally excel on certain things. And I think some of us just happen to have really bad habits. Like, there's been significant studies that the number one thing between people who are slim and people who are overweight is not the diet, not the calories. It's that slim people are conscious of their decisions, whereas overweight people are not conscious of their decisions. And that's what it boils down to. And I actually think that's a bit of a life metaphor. You kind of might agree. Like, I mean, I would imagine that if someone like you or someone like you did, like if you came in and ripped my business apart the way I would frequently ask you to, you'll find chinks and you'll find holes in it straight away. Like, that's crazy invaluable to me, because it's not nice for you to pull me aside on a second and be like, oh, bad move, that's stupid. But it's really nice 2 years later when I'm sitting on a laptop in Barcelona and I'm like, fuck, like, Brian really helped me sort my shit out 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah, it was the high end of, you know, when you kind of get to a certain point, you're able to help the people around you. It's, again, become the strongest version of you and then help everybody else around you rise up to their potential.
But when I wanted to do personal training and I didn't have the confidence to do it, you were the first person to be like, oh no, you have the raw materials, go at it, you'll be fine, go at it. And when I tried to bring in a full-time employee last year, if you remember, you were like, too soon. And I was like, I appreciate the input, Brian, but I'm going to do this anyway. And it was too soon and it didn't work. Well, it didn't work in that I didn't get what I needed out of it, but it worked in that I learned a very valuable lesson. And for me to get that critique from you, from someone who I knew had my best interest at heart underneath it all, that's the difference. Because if you'd have been just saying it wouldn't work, projecting your broken misery onto me, that's a whole different ballgame.
Well, it's a very important thing to be able to recognize in people. That's why I'm so big on the average of the five people you spend the most time with, that you are that average of those five people, because you need to be around people who are trying to lift you. And it's very, very easy, because we all have them fuckers in our lives that tell us we can't do anything. Some of them are people really close. Like, I've had it from people that were in my immediate family that called me everything from a fucking idiot to a dreamer. And it's horrible. Even though it's nicer than somebody telling you that you can do something and be like, oh, maybe you shouldn't do it. And their best, you know, they're trying to nearly subconsciously sabotage you. Actually, in hindsight now, I prefer the people that call me an idiot and a dreamer, because it was fire and it was fuel. But there's something you said there that I want to pick out about doing things mindlessly. This is something I've been thinking about a lot recently, that what am I doing? And again, I'm big on questions. People have listened to the podcast in the past, better questions. I've got notes in my phone of questions that I just regularly come back to. And one I added recently, Paul, was what am I doing mindlessly? And it was down to those studies you talked about the conscious choice of people making dietary decisions, and the people that are overweight or out of shape are people that just aren't making conscious decisions. They're mindlessly eating. They're not being mindful of what they're doing. And again, how you do anything is how you do everything. And I asked myself that question. I was like, what am I mindlessly doing? And it's funny, because you don't like those answers that come up, because you're like, fuck, okay, I'm mindlessly, the analogy I kind of like to think of is like steering a ship. It's I'm really fucking good with steering my ship in my business, or even in my personal life with my friends, my mother, my daughter. Really, really good in my fitness, like steering that fucking ship. I know exactly where it's going. If you tell me where it's going to be in 5 years, I'm like, I can fucking tell you where it's going to be in 5-10 years. But there's other parts of my life that I'm like, shit, I've been doing this really mindlessly. I've just been letting the kind of ship steer itself and just let it go. And then you wonder out the other side why you aren't where you want to be. You're like, well, you haven't taken any fucking control of that ship. You haven't taken control of that steering wheel. You've been letting it mindlessly guide itself. And then you wonder why you are where you are. And I think it just something you just said that, it just triggered in me because I recently added that question. Very important one to ask yourself now, for anyone listening, what the fuck are you doing mindlessly? What are you not consciously taking control of that you're just, what are you just letting go of the controls where you could be grasping a steering wheel and guiding it in a certain direction? I just wanted to pull that out there.
How do you note your questions? Where do you keep them?
I keep them in my Evernote. I've got, so I have the notes on my phone. I've got an iPhone, but I normally lose because I make a lot of notes in my phone, like everything from what I'm doing each day to, you know, shopping lists. But I've got an Evernote, which is, I recommend getting it. I think it's free up to a certain amount of whatever amount of messages you put into it. But it just allows me to separate and segregate my, so I put affirmations in there. So I've got my goal list. I do daily affirmations. Right, just, I say affirmations, I've been doing these for years before I knew what affirmations were, where I would just make note of, so for example, I've got, you know, best-selling book, you know, the GA book when it comes out, I'm like, well, Amazon bestseller, and then I've got my following book next year, The Life Mindset, which I'm currently near 50,000 words in on, the follow-up to The Fitness Mindset, I'm like, right, Sunday Times bestseller. And I put in my affirmations and things in. I've got my podcast. I'm like, right, I want to, you know, get over a million downloads in this amount of months, another million downloads. And I just put those into my phone, into my Evernote. They're called affirmations now. I've been doing this for years. And I separate, and I've got my questions in another section. I've got notes to myself in another section. I've got quotes in another section. And I just kind of refer in and out of it. And it just separates it a little bit better than iPhone notes. But yeah, I those questions I've got, like, I come back to them really, really regularly, Paul. And I just, because the answers change. Like, you can ask the same question, like, what makes you happy? So a fucking super simple question. And that answer changes depending on where you are in your life right now. Like, before you went to Barcelona, you're like, what do you want to achieve in your business? I want to be in Barcelona on a laptop. That's probably not what you want to achieve in your business right now because you're doing it. So the question is the same, but the answers change.
It's like, parenting a 3-year-old the way you parent your 18-year-old. Like, I mean, it's two different things. But when you talk about the affirmations, I've seen firsthand. I've walked into your room. I've walked into your office, and I've seen in the last 4 years. It'd be funny. I imagine if we went back to the 2014 Brian Keane wall, I would imagine it was, what, set up a PT business and have 10 clients. I bet that was one time an affirmation, was it?
Yeah, it was. Maybe my room was covered. For those,
I remember.
That, we were living together for 4 years just to get, what was it, 4 years?
Must have been about that
for those unfamiliar, just to give you a bit of context. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, just to give context.
No, not at all. Don't worry about interrupting me. Like you're one of my best friends, and I nearly forget sometimes that you've been literally nearly forget in many respects, coupled with the crazy contradiction of being super grateful to have you, that you've been, like, I can't decide if you're best friend or business coach. Like, you've had such a significantly profound impact on my career. Like, I was only thinking in the laundromat. It was weird because the second you text, I was just thinking about you, and I was just literally thinking about the 3 to 4 years gone by, and I was like, where would life be if I hadn't met Brian and Orla? Like, you talked about the affirmations there, and you'll get this. Orla bought these crystals. Do you know these crystals? They're kind of energy crystals.
Yeah, chakra healing crystals, aren't they?
Yeah, and Orla would be a very practical, pragmatic character, but she said to me, she was, babe, I bought these energy crystals. Now, I wouldn't have a bloody clue about them. And she was like, what do you think? I bet you think it's mad. And I was like, babe, if that's the thing that just consciously reminds you 10 times a day to be 3 times more grateful because you see them on the counter, that's going to become your reality. That's, in 2 years' time, you're going to be an unstoppable force of tranquility in your mindset because you saw a bloody crystal 10 times a day and you remember to be a bit more thankful in a given minute. Like, I think whatever an affirmation looks like to you. To me, my affirmation is just take a breath and realize you're alive and have the power to change today, which sounds a little bit soft and blasé. That's just the way I live day to day. But for you, I've seen crazy things. I've seen all the way from personal training business with a couple of clients. I saw that, and I've seen 1 million downloads, and I saw that, and now I've seen like your second, third, fourth book, whatever the hell it's going to be. There's not a thing on the planet that you could do, my friend, that if you said that you couldn't do, that if you came to me and said, yeah, I'm going to gravitate the earth slightly, like by force, I'd be like, yeah, you probably will do that. Like, you probably will. And it's crazy, man. Like, I mean, you've got this inherent desire, but it's no different. I don't want to ramble on. Like, it's because of the quality of the thoughts you put into your mind. Like, you listen to a lot of books and read a lot of books and a lot of podcasts, and like, you always say success leaves clues. That's your big one, isn't it? And for me, watching you, I was like, this dude's achieving so much shit. Oh, might be the fact that he reads for like 42 hours a day, you know? You put a lot of good quality into your brain. Like, going back to the escapism thing from earlier, like, you put so much good information into your mind. It really is what you put into the soul and the mind, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Like, I've spoken at seminars. I've been very fortunate. I've been doing a lot more speaking, and a lot of it corporate-based, but some of it fitness-based. And one of the things that I'll regularly say is the two things that have changed my life more than anything else over the last 5-6 years, and I'm excluding meeting the likes of you and Holly, I'm saying kind of practical strategies that I've implemented, is reading more books and getting up earlier. And again, I tell people I get up early because it allows me to control my morning. We're the opposite in the end, and I know you're changing it slightly, but again, find what works best for you. For me, I'm less anxious and less stressed when I take control of my morning and I get my most creative tasks done. And then I can kind of put out fires elsewhere, wherever I need to in the business, with emails, etc. But reading more books, it's not a coincidence that when up until the age of 25, I was working full-time as a primary school teacher, and I had read probably 10 books, and a lot of them were WWE and WWF biographies, or GA or soccer autobiographies. And we have a joke about your book with Fernando Torres, which we'll get on to, your one book you'd read until you started personal development. And no. I was the same. And then I started to, for me, my introduction was audiobooks. I know we're similar in this sense, because I want to say I wasn't a strong reader, but it's not true. It was a story I told myself. I just didn't want to do it. And my introduction was audiobooks, because I'm like, oh man, I can listen to an audiobook while I'm out for a cycle, or I can listen to it to and from work. I was on an hour and a half commute to my school at one stage when I was living in East London with my girlfriend at the time, and it was an hour and a half commute to school. So I was getting nearly 3 hours of an audiobook in every day. I was getting through two or three audiobooks like a week at that stage. And that was in September of 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I'd left my job by that December because I put so much information into my head. And I'm like, it shifted the way that I saw the world, because I was learning from the mistakes of other people. You know, one of the things that I'll say is smart people learn from the mistakes. The really sharp ones learn from the mistakes of others. And reading did that for me. So I just doubled down on it. Like, there's nothing. One of the things that I don't want to say bothers me, but one of the things that I get a little bit heated with is when people are like, oh yeah, but you can do that, when they say it in reference to me, like I'm somebody extraordinary or somebody doing something fucking out of this world. And again, perception, I'm fucking the way Instagram and social media can perceive things. I'm just doing things that work for me consistently well, and doubling down on things that work and cutting the things that don't. And it's just a byproduct of doing those things, and anybody could do it. I was literally living the life like everyone else. And when I say everyone else, I mean the 95% of people, and you may not be in this bracket listening, of just living by default. I was living mindlessly. I was working mindlessly. The only thing that took any conscious thought was my training, because I was into that side of life and I was interested in it. But my job, my career, my relationships, everything was just mindless. It just happened by default. I didn't take control of any of it. And when I started to read more books, it started to shift my thinking. And particularly when you read the right kind of books, like you can't read fucking the 50 Shades of Grey or the Harry Potter books and personally develop. You can read those books, and by all means, I love those books as well. I read them, the Harry Potter series, Game of Thrones, but they're for escapism. You're not going to develop by consuming those kind of books. But when you listen to Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People or Sapiens or Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules of Life, you're not going to be the same fucking person when you finish listening to that book or reading that book, because you're completely, if it's landed and resonated with you, and I've had people that have read The Fitness Mindset, my first book, the same thing in the mindset section, and your book when it eventually comes out, which is something we'll get onto, because that's something I'm keeping Paul accountable to, because he's an incredible writer and he needs to get his book out. And one of the things that people will say is, man, I feel like a different person after reading the mindset section of your book. And that's what I wanted to do when I wrote it, because that's what I get with my favorite books. Because one person starts reading the book and a different person finished reading that book. It's a different person out the other side, because the way you see something shifts. And if you keep doing that, like I told you, I'm not sure if you remember this conversation, that when you asked me about reading, I was like, I just need one nugget of gold. I was like, if I read a book and I just get one nugget of gold, I'm like, if I'm reading fucking 100 or 200 books a year, I'm getting 100 or 200 nuggets of gold. That adds up very fucking quickly.
Well, if you read your book, and only because this has been said to me about you, well, one of them certainly has. If you read your book and took nothing other than start your day with a good breakfast and position your ladder at the bottom rung of the right wall as opposed to the wrong wall, that's a quote I know you're fond of. That's a quote that's been given back to me from you. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and said, the compound effect of the next 365 days of a good breakfast to start my day with really good energy and the focus that my ladder is not against the right wall today, but in a year, I'll be on the bottom rung of the right one, you know?
Well, that's huge. That ladder against the right wall, because me and you were big on the compound effect. And for anyone unfamiliar, the compound effect is effectively what you do today will compound or snowball over time. So it's not about the, you know, the example he uses, if you take a penny and double it every day for, I think it's 31 days, it becomes, I think it's 3.3 million. Because
I was blown away when you told me that fact. I was like, I'm checking that. There's no fucking way that's true.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. That's it. I actually put that into the life mindset, if that the working title of my third book, which will be out next year, I had to put that example of the penny, because it's fucking mind-blowing,
isn't it just that. So if you were to talk about, so because I get asked this question a lot, you can still hear me okay? Yeah
I can hear you perfectly. Yeah,
perfect. So when you started to personally develop, then what, I'm because this is probably a question you get a lot, and I apologize if you've done this in another podcast, what was the book or the two books or the three books that got you thinking a different way then? Because I know what mine are now, and I'm really starting to see a change in my life since I've really started shifting my attention to reading. So, like, for you, what were the books that changed your views on life?
Well, I'll talk my two or three, and then I'm going to ask yours, because I'm curious on your side as well. The main one for me, and I actually spoke about this in a podcast a couple of months ago, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, because of my way I was brought up. And again, we are, a lot of it, of the way we see the world is a byproduct of our environment and a byproduct of our experience. And I was brought up to believe that to be successful, you went to school, you got a degree, you got a good job, you got paid a lot of money, and you were respected in your community for the job that you did. That was kind of my version of success, kind of just keeping it really simple and non-complex. And I didn't just realize it any other way. I thought that's what everybody did. You go to college, you get a degree, you get a job, and you climb a ladder, and the higher you are on that ladder, the more successful you are. And what Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad did for me was it allowed me to see that, one, that wasn't true. That's not necessarily the way the world works, that you can make money doing other things. And the message I got from it was not necessarily the message that everybody gets when they read that book, but because of where I was at in my life at the time, it it shifted me from thinking, if I was making 100,000 or 200,000 a year as a teacher, I wouldn't be as happy as if I was making 20,000 a year as a personal trainer. And that really hit me hard, because it was the first time that I had separated financial income or monetary reward as the success metric. And it was the first, I never, up until that point, I just assumed the more money you made, the more successful you were. And for me, that the question that came back was, would I be happier earning 200,000 a year teaching or 20,000 a year working in a gym with clients? And I'm like, fuck, I'd rather be in the gym. And it just got, it shifted me from that mindset. Ironically, I make more money now than I ever do. Like, I make more money now in a month than I did in a year of teaching. But it's the high end of providing value. Like, everything I do now, I would do for free. Like, I fucking love what I do. Like, the people I do business consultations with, I fucking love those people. I get paid for the sponsorships on the podcast. I get book royalties for a message that I get to put out to the world that I fucking love that I get to do. And the money you get back is just the value that you're providing. It's the universe's way of how much value you're providing to the world. And ironically, when you do what you love, you don't ever feel like you have to do it for money, and you end up making way more, has been my experience. But that was the book, more so than any other. That was the one that was the catalyst for me. What were yours?
I'm different take on it. Yours was very much business oriented. Mine was letting go. I talk about not being massively naturally very confident. Letting go helped me surrender all negative emotion. I've actually literally just off a DM conversation on Instagram with a guy who I recommended it to, and he's getting the same from it as me. He said he's not a particularly confident character, quite a shy guy, and he's learning to let go of all negative emotion. That was a big one. I have a couple. Ask Gary Vee was big for me personally, because it blew my ability to think just that little bit wider. But if I'm entirely honest, I mean, books have been incredible, but to have someone like you constantly in my life who wonderfully, just by doing your thing, you have forced me to level up. Like, whether it's been comfortable or uncomfortable, by surrounding myself with someone like you, I mean, your book is a medley of your thoughts, really. So I nearly kind of feel I've read it, if that makes any sense.
You have. You to fucking listen to me talking about stuff that was in that book firsthand, because it was literally as it played out.
It's had a profound impact on me. I mean, we both say it all the time, dude. You are the average of your five people. You probably get this a lot, where people will message you and say that you're one of their five because of the amount of content you put out. Because for a very long time, Gary Vee was one of my five, because of the amount of "you gotta believe in yourself" content that he put out. So yeah, for me, the books were letting go, because I think if your mindset's broken and you don't actually believe in yourself, it's a lot harder to be. How can you succeed if you're not being yourself? Like, you can't. Or at least it's very exhausting having to try and be somebody else. Ask Gary Vee for business. Do you know what is a book that you read that I think everybody would benefit? I think everybody in the planet should read 12 Rules for Life.
Incredible. Like, one of the I know how good a book is for me personally, and this is something that I do that I always get funny looks when I tell people. If I get a book that truly resonates with me, as soon as I get to the end of it, I go back to the start and I read it again. And I did that with 12 Rules for Life. I downloaded the audiobook. And as soon as I got to the end of the audiobook, I went straight back to the physical copy, because my favorite books I always have on audio and physical, because the way you consume it is slightly different. An audiobook is slightly more passive, and a physical book, even though you have to concentrate more and you take in less sometimes, you're kind of tuning into it in a different way. So my favorite books I have on audio and I have on physical, and that 12 Rules for Life is one of those. As soon as I finished it, I went back and started and read the physical copy from the start again, because if you can get the message and dig through some of the abstraction that can be difficult to difficult to apply to your life directly, because if you haven't consumed Jordan Peterson, and he's a psychologist, some of his stuff is what feels like abstraction and out there is very, very relevant to each person, But sometimes you have to have a couple of goes at it, because it's a difficult book to digest. It's not a, you know, rice cake and tuna. It's a fucking flaming young. Like, it's a little bit harder to digest, but you feel way more fuller when you do.
Did you feel that your character was just torn open and torn apart, and the way you currently thought as a man, as a human, was just like, fuck, like, there's so much more self-development and improvement to make in life. It's never going to stop. That's what I got from it above all else, was every time he opened up a chapter, I was like, holy shit. Like, there's always something to improve on. Like, even something like clean your room. You know that clean your room, start your day by cleaning your room. Don't try and change anything in the outside world if you can't get the one tiny... Like, it's actually really, really hard to get your room in order. I don't know if you agree, but I think it's the hardest thing in the fucking world. And since I've read that book and I've been trying to literally take more pride in getting my workspace together and my sleeping area together, I'm like, fuck, like, controlling my life is actually really fucking difficult.
Because, because it's easy to blame the world. That's what hits me. And again, I'm probably going to get a little bit more fired up, because I was that person. To take control of your own life is fucking hard and difficult, because you got to lean into discomfort where you don't want to lean into it. It's easier to blame everybody else. It's easier to put it on everybody else. So that's why cleaning your own fucking room, or getting your own house in order, and getting your own emotions under control, that's fucking hard, and it's the reason we don't do it. And the reason it lands with me is because I did it for so long, Paul, where I would literally go through life and I would blame everybody else. I blame fucking the way I was brought up. I blamed some of the abuses that I got and being bullied in teenage years and all these other fucking excuses that I let cripple me, because it was easier to blame the world and be like, well, fuck, I wouldn't be this way if that hadn't happened. No, it fucking happened. Now own it. Are you going to be a victim, or are you going to fucking move on and use it? Because that's fuel for fire. When you're able to take these things that have happened, that have set you from the outside world that look like they could be potential setbacks, or you take them under control and use that fuel for fire, that's really fucking powerful. You should be grateful. You had a girlfriend that fucking cheated on you? Good. Go fucking find a better one. Now you know what you don't need in your life. You have a job that you hate and you fucking hate getting up in the to go to work every morning? Good. Quit your fucking job or start a side hustle and do something else. Use your the feedback of what you have that you're not happy with as direct principles going forward to get what you do want, because your failure is your feedback. And when you stop blaming everybody else and you stop blaming external things and you bring it back to you and you own it, you can fucking change it. And the reason I get so fired up is because I went through so long being a victim. Like, and it lands with me because that book talks about owning it. Stop doing things that make you weaker. Stop surrounding yourself with loser people who pull you down. Rise above it and become a better version of you and own your shit. Get your own life under control. Get your room fucking tidy. Get your own life in order. And then the rest of it will take care of itself, because the external world, it doesn't fucking matter. What difference does it make what the fucking president is doing, what Donald Trump is doing, what fucking Love Island people are doing? What difference does that make to your fucking life? None. But it's easy. And when you do what is hard, your life will be easy. And when you do what is easy, your life will be hard. And that message just shines through. I'm sorry I've gone off on one, but that book fired me. It like completely lit a fire under me. It's why I went back on it a couple of times.
Man, you don't ever have to apologize for going off of one. It's that energy that I've fed off, I'm sure all your audience feed off it. But it is funny that you say, you talk about remarks landing. I had a very different experience. I got one particularly nasty, almost like a venereal remark when I was 15 years old. And it landed. And it only landed with me. And it took me till I was 25 years old to realize this, that it only landed with me because I was insecure about it. I never really fed the victim mentality. I never really projected out to the world. You know me, I live by the philosophy when anybody tries to, this is why I hate, like, literally when people are overly political or overly religious or identity politics, you know, hardcore third wave feminism, all this stuff. I'm like, wow, it must be incredible that through millions and billions of years, the world has shaped itself to the best possible hierarchy. We can systematically clump it together, but you know what's better for everybody else. You have the answer. Oh, it must be incredible to be so perfect that you know more than the state of which the last how many hundreds of millions of years have come together to provide so that the 7 billion of us can go exist without beating each other up and ripping each other's eyeballs out. But good luck with that one. But jokes aside on that one, I got a nasty comment and it landed. And I never fell into the victim mentality. It was never anyone's fault. Inherently, and this is before I did any self-development, all it did was cripple my ability to act. So, like, I wouldn't do anything for fear of looking like an idiot. So then I just literally spend my time, you know, numbing out a little bit, you know, watching too much football as if it was me playing the match, you know, drinking too much. Like, you almost get to that stage where you're like, I've only 50 quid in my pocket anyway, I might as well go boozing, because I didn't believe that I was equipped to set out to achieve anything more. But I always knew that it was in me, and that kind of insecurity was inherent in me, because I always kind of play it back to, I was on a guest on another podcast here in Barcelona last week, actually, and she asked me what I thought of fat shaming. And I said, I think of it like I think anybody else. Take ownership. If you feel you've been fat shamed, you're just self-conscious because you feel you're fat. Like, and I'm not speaking holier than thou. It was a fat remark I got when I was younger. And I wasn't even that fat, but that's what I got. But it only landed because I was jealous and insecure. If they had said that I had bad hair or that I was a shit chess player, or if they made a remark about my shoes, I wouldn't have cared, because they're not things I'm self-conscious about. But it is very, very, very easy to refuse to take ownership of what you're self-conscious about and then project that back out into the outside world. It's incredibly difficult to level up and go, if I didn't dislike my physical appearance as much as I did, perhaps I wouldn't be as insecure about myself, and perhaps I could manifest more of the things I would love to have in my life. The sad thing about that is it requires a dietary and lifestyle change, and that's a hell of a lot more difficult than telling the world how it should be. Going back to my sarcastic remark earlier, I think it's all the same. I think whether it's hardcore politics, I'm talking hardcore, like hardcore religion, you know, hardcore anything, I usually interpret that as a bit of a, well, I'm emotionally attached to this ideology belief because it helps me numb out to the fact that my life is not really as I'd like it to be, you know. The only difference with that and, say, coming out of a victim mentality the way you talk about it is in your 20s, you spotted, well, my life's not all it could be. How could I shape up and level up? What am I doing that's wrong? Why am I the common denominator in all of my life's problems? Like, you and me, we've both been on relentless pursuits to try and bridge that gap ever since we've found personal development, really.
Yeah, like, one of the two points I want to pull out there, something that always lands at me is, what's the common denominator? And it always comes back to you. Like,
always.
If you've been with 10 personal trainers and none of them have got you in shape, what's the common denominator? If you've been,
if you think there's no good guys or good girls, that's the common. There's no good guys out there. There's no good men. Oh yeah? Have you tried being what you'd like? Yeah, have you tried that?
Well, like, one of the things that that lands with me is the reframing of the question of, you know, there are no good girls or there are no good guys. It's, well, if you want a good girl or a good guy, how do I deserve a good girl or a good guy? And what do I have to become, or who do I have to become in order to attract that? And it's very important, because that common denominator always comes back on you. Like, whatever you don't have, it's you. It's you haven't become that person yet, or you haven't cultivated the skills or the talents or became the person that you needed to become in order to attract that into your life. The other thing I wanted to just pull on there, because it lands so much when you say it, is the purple polar bear comment is what I always bring it back to. That you always have to ask yourself, when you get hit with an emotion or you get hit with a comment that rises up an emotion within you, why did that land? Or why did that resonate? It's the purple polar bear comment. Like, if I call you Paul Germany, you're a purple polar bear, you're like, okay, cool, mate. And you go about your day and you kind of be like, oh, fucking purple polar bear guy, what the fuck is he on about? But if I say, oh, you insecure wanker, or I say, oh, you're, you know, shit at this, or you're fat, or you're ugly, and that resonated and landed, why did that resonate and land and the purple polar bear didn't? That's something that I have to pull back on myself all the time, because every, because you interject perspective into everything. Nothing is good or bad. It's whatever you attach to that emotion, feeling, or comment. And it's something I have to pull back to. And it's funny because you did the work for me there, saying that when somebody made, say, a fat comment when you were younger, that was like, well, why did that land? That's one of the most important questions to ask, because it straight away takes the control off the other person or the external world and puts it back on you. And when you own it, you can control it. And when you control it, you can change it. But you have to be able to ask, why did that land? If, you know, fat shaming is a great example. And again, I have no emotional attachment to anything, really. Apart from the laws of physics, I'm not going to go jump out of a fucking building because, you know, gravity and all that. Like, you're going to go splat. But everything else outside of that's an opinion or a perspective. And I'm not attached to any of it. But if it lands with you and someone calls you fat, or someone calls you stupid, or someone calls you ugly, why did that land? Why did that resonate? Like, I remember being called stupid by a really close family member, like somebody who you'd expect should have your back. And it always landed with me. And it's still one of those comments that's a trigger word for me, because it sends me into an emotional state. And one of the things I'll regularly ask myself, we've had this discussion, am I being emotional right now, or am I being rational right now? And we all have trigger words. Stupid's a trigger word for you, for me. Fat may be a trigger word for you. It's not for me. But where someone calls me stupid, or someone calls me cocky, or someone calls me whatever, insert trigger word here, and automatically my emotion kicks in, where it's like, oh, fuck you, and you have to pull yourself back, where there's other words that are very neutral and they don't do that. But you have to ask, why are those words landing with you? Because there's probably some truth in it. And if there is, cool, fucking own that. And now you can control it, and now you can change it. But it's something I just wanted to pull, because your example is so strong because of your own experience and how you've came out the other side. I just wanted to pull that purple polar bear comment in case it provides value for anybody listening.
It's great, dude. But it is a really, really brilliant point to make, because I really always go back to I know they say if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside cannot hurt you. But I always reframe that as if there's clearly enemy within, then every enemy outside is probably going to take a decent, handsome swipe at you. And like, whatever about fat shaming, and I am the furthest thing from someone who judges fat people. A significant amount of my online market are overweight people. And I actually love working with that market, because I think it represents everything I strive to achieve in terms of having the wool pulled from my eyes. You know, like, you know, when you're so limited in your life philosophy, in your life belief, you're like, I could never do that. The same way that you might have once upon a time thought, I'd love to run a PT business, the way I thought I'd love to, move to Spain and be an online coach, is the same emotion that an overweight person might have to be slim. But it's highly likely that something in the outside world is triggering them. And this is not an easy concept. I speak about it like it's an easy concept. It's not. It requires a shit ton of development and reminding yourself 50 times a day. But like, by just being a little bit more grateful that you're in 2018, to have the power and the option to change your mindset, and then to choose your, like, you cannot, this is again why I fucking hate the hardcore politics, hardcore religion, hardcore everything. There is nothing in the world you can do except control your own emotion and your own reaction to everything. And once you actually understand how hard that is, and like really hard, and I'm not speaking as an expert, I'm speaking as someone that gets found out every fucking day, or at least tries to find himself out every day. Once you find out how hard it is to change yourself, you realize that trying to change the world is fucking pointless. So if you get trigger words, like you said, cocky, or if you get trigger words like stupid or fat or whatever it is for me, I'm like, that landed because you have not made peace with this yet. There's still some form of enemy within. And it's not like the enemy should be gone, but it's to be aware that that enemy resides, to the point where over enough time, you'll have reminded yourself such strong principles that it's gone. It's literally the kind of the mindset shift I try and give all my online clients that are struggling with the overweight side of things. I'm like, look, it's very likely you do have limited self-esteem and self-confidence. You're 5 stone overweight. You're not going to be confident tomorrow. But the enemy's not going to go away if you don't take the small, tiny actions that support you dropping 5 stone. It's the same concept with me in my business and trying to develop my business acumen. It's the same concept for us all, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, and again, overweight people, anyone that's overweight and anyone that's overly listening, I'm not trying to minimize fat shaming, like fuck the dickheads that are like that, but let them go do them, you do you and improve your life. But how you do anything is how you do everything, and it's taking that step in the right direction and comparing yourself about where you were yesterday that's so important. But I just want to play devil's advocate for a second, because I know we're slightly different on this, that the enemy within, and I'm big, and this may change, and one of my favorite quotes that you always say to me is, give yourself permission to change your mind. And this may change, but I'm big on using the enemy. Like, I know you're big on letting it go and having the inner peace, so I want to talk on that. I'm big on using the inner enemy, because the words that trickled through my ear telling me I can't do something when I'm running 250 kilometers through the desert, or when I'm getting through a workout where I feel like I'm going to vomit, get sick, or pass out, I'm playing back the words of the people who told me I couldn't fucking do it. I'm playing back the world. It's like a videotape or a recording of that voice over and over again. And I fucking did it today when I was trying to hit a PB on a 10K. I'm visualizing the people that told me you can't do it, you're a fucking loser. And I'm running my PB, about to pass out, repeating in my mind, I'm going to fucking show you. And I still do that. And again, it sounds psychotic. I'm very aware how psychotic I sound when I say that. But it's my own inner dialogue. It's my own truth. It's what I use. And if you can get that inner me under control, it's like fire. Fire can completely destroy you. It can turn, rip your house to shreds, burn it down, or it can light up an entire room if you can get it under control. And for anyone that's listening that's overweight, or has the fear to start their own business, or it doesn't want to get into a relationship from whatever self-limiting story they've told themselves, that enemy within, if you can get it under control, it's like a Rottweiler dog. Like, if you have a Rottweiler dog and he's not controlled, he's going to rip your fucking face off. But if you have him trained and you can get him when you need him and pull him alongside you, man, no one's going to fuck with you, and you can do anything. And I know we're slightly different on that. I just wanted to ask your perspective, because I know you're big on letting go and inner peace, and I think it may be an attitude I adopt down the line. But it's difficult to let go of a belief system that supports you, and this is one that supports me when I'm trying to physically achieve certain things, and I use it. What's your thoughts on that?
I like the way you think on these things, but I think it's not necessarily very practical for me, for example, to, like you say, you use it to say do your 10Ks and to do Saharas like that. You have obviously this inner beast.
It's a demon. You can say it because it's a demon that I work out my demons. This is how I don't go to counseling. I don't go to psychotherapy. This is how I work out my demons.
Yeah, but it's wonderful, dude, because many people have that inner beat. I would nearly go and say we all have it. And if you notice how depression and anxiety, which are two things I know pretty much, well, certainly depression is something I know fuck all about. We are in a generation now where a lot of us are finding it very difficult to come face to face with our demons and our beasts. And perhaps, unfortunately, it's controlling us. Now, I have no idea what the answer is, but you've clearly found a way to tame yours, control yours, beat yours, and it comes through physical exertion, as you've said to me. Mine's just a bit different. Mine's just the realization that in a bazillion year lifespan, I get fucking 70 measly pathetic years, that a breath not taken in appreciation is a breath wasted, that, like, do you know what, dude, mine literally comes down to, if you ask me the things I love the most in life, it's not worrying about tomorrow, it's not paperwork, and it's not John's opinion. None of them are my three favorite things, so therefore they don't get enough of my time anymore. My favorite things in the world are time with you and time with Orla, going to football, and working now that I work for myself. So I've set my day up to do the maximum amount of that and the minimum amount of the other shit. And I might have to remind myself 46 times a day to just, the next breath you take, feel it. And the next touch, like, I like to literally do things like touch a table or touch a human, sounds bizarre, and feel that presence, feel the aliveness. That helps me zen out. So back to the point then, where if someone who, if the two or three people, say from my teens who I would have been before visceral to, were to show up, I can just stand very proudly with my shoulders back and be like, ah, there's no beast within, so you can't hurt me anymore. And likewise, they probably don't even remember that moment anyway. So if I harbored any grudge or harbored any resentment, it's just a reflection of what I think of myself. Come back to that point. So for me, it's just gratitude. It's just appreciation. It's just me channeling my, Maybe my beast is just a very mild character compared to yours. I have no idea. But breathing and taking it all in and just, I don't know, call someone and tell them you love them. That kind of shit. That's what does it for me, I guess.
Yeah, and it's funny because Paul, for anyone listening, the high end of you live your words. Like, you, I will be walking down the street and I'll randomly get a text from Paul and be like, I'm grateful to have you. And I'm like, oh, like the high end of living it. One of the reasons, and I will finish up on this because we're nearly at the hour mark, and I'm so grateful for having this catch up, and anyone that's been listening, I hope you've enjoyed it because it's been very fly on the wall, because I've completely forgot we were recording at times. And one of the reasons that I'm so grateful for you as one of my five is for that light philosophy. And I just want to put a call to action on people listening, that surround yourself with the people who make you stronger, or surround yourself with the people who you know can make you level up. And Paul does it for me. I do it for him in a business side and other areas of personal development. And Paul does it very much for me in his personal relationship touch, his way of being, his inner peace, his spirituality, his oneness with, man, I'm so fucking happy right now. That is so visceral to him that I try and strive for. And my call to action for everybody listening is, find that person or find those people, or ask yourself, are the people you're spending time with doing that for you? We're not all going to be as lucky that we get to have a Paul Dermody on call. And I'm very grateful for having, fuck Paul, I'm having this problem, can I just run something by you? And vice versa, you to me. And I'm aware that not everybody has it, but everything starts with knowing what you want first. And if you know that you need to level up in certain areas of your life, or you know there's certain characteristics or personality traits that you could improve on, like Paul's being present, and you just to go on a side tangent for those listening, we spoke about this a little bit in the first podcast we recorded, that one of the things that I struggle with is I'm very type A in always living in the future. And it's one of the, it serves me in the sense that I can achieve things, but I'm always on to the next thing. And I just, being around and being in your presence, Paul, who's so, the epitomizes presence in the sense of he's with you right now. He's hearing the words you're speaking and his mind isn't elsewhere and he's focused in. There's times when I would sit in a room and go, fuck, I want to be just like that. And you just take those personality traits and you model them and you copy the people who are doing what you want to do and who are acting the way you want to act. Paul, before we finish, just to play on that call to action to people, to start being conscious of mindful and not mindlessly spending time at random people, level up either digitally, but try and get one or two people in the physical world. Is there anything else that you want to call people to action on, just that we've been ebbing and flowing on, that's jumped out at you?
Yeah, I want to expand on what you said. You're spot on. And I, by the way, I appreciate all the lovely words you said about me there. I do believe in authenticity. But before I go on, it is very much the flip, dude. I mean, you came out to Spain last month and you literally just, it's like someone took my head and shifted it 15 degrees and given me back this insane drive. Like, I'll get comfortable super quick. I'll be like, I had a great month. Like, do I really need to write a book? You know, I'm the worst for that shit. And you're like, no, you do. Stop being a lazy shit. And I really appreciate that, your ability to just make me think. Like, you make me think on a level that 4 years ago I would have said was humanly impossible. Like, when it's all said and done in 50 years, I'll look back on that August 2014, the day you said that one thing. Check out the old podcast we recorded for that reference. The day you said that one thing to me back in August 14, you exploded my mindset to think a different way. So, like, it's a balancing act, man. I mean, talk about being present. But if I was too fucking present, I'd probably be homeless before I realized I'd start worrying. So, like, I appreciate that. And you and both Orla give me a lot of ambition and a lot of drive. So thank you for that. But yes, going back to what Brian said about spending time with people who are good for you and who want the best for you, just remember, because I think to some degree we all do it. We spend, or some of us spend time with people that we know are somewhat destroying us in some arbitrary, bizarre hope that they'll change. Just remember, they're probably hoping you'll change too and possibly become a lazier version. they don't have to change. They can do their thing. If they're happy with takeaways and complaining and they want to go get smashed on Saturday night and that's life to them, that's their thing. Like, I only say avoid it because it kills productivity, but like, who the fuck am I to tell anybody to live their life? But if you want more, just be aware how hard it is to change and how much you don't want to change to that, and accept they probably feel the same. There are certain relationships you may have to sever ties with. There are certain relationships that will just fade away into the distance without any bad ties. And then there are certain relationships you just need to all manifest and make happen. Like, and I'm not talking fucking message everybody psychotically. I'm talking what you want, you just start tomorrow to give that, because you don't know who you're going to end up talking to. I swear on my life, 4 years ago, I got talking to some randomly over the top, over ambitious, overly enthusiastic, mad fucker in a gym changing room. And I was friends with the fucker 15 minutes later. And here we are now on a podcast 4 years later. It's crazy. It's bananas. And I wasn't consciously looking for a Brian Keane, but I was like, I'm in a position where I could do with more in my life. Maybe I could do with a friend who thinks a bit more like me, but has something else I don't and could steer me on the right path. And I swear, sounds a bit hokey, but you're not going to get any less ambitious friends from trying. So my advice is just to be, don't rely on other people to change. Just fix the one thing you can control. And going back to Brian's point, stop spending time with people who you know are bad for you, because you'll just become another resentful prick too. And that's no way to live. So yeah.
I couldn't agree more. For anyone that is listening to this podcast and isn't following Paul, you literally need to go do that right now. Like, finish this podcast and go follow him. Paul, tell everyone where is the best place to follow your journey.
Paul Dermody on Facebook, Paul Dermody PT on Instagram, Paul Dermody podcast, which I probably wouldn't have again if the likes of you and Orla didn't kick me up the backside. Sorry, I'm shiting on about good influences, but I just think everything is mindset. Everything. You can learn all the shit you need, but if you don't believe in yourself, you're fucked. Anyway, Paul Dermody PT Instagram, Paul Dermody podcast, and if anybody wants to get in touch, email me, DM me. I love chatting to people. So yeah, it's all good.
Mate, this is awesome. And everybody listening, this is really different to any other podcast I've done. It's been very fly on the wall conversation with one of my best friends on the planet that I just ebb and flow, and these are regular conversations that we have in each other's presence or over on Skype online. So be sure to hit me up on DM, hit Paul up, let us know what you thought. Paul, thank you again.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Quick message before you head off. Just letting you know, my best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is now available on Audible and all major audiobook apps. If you're like me and love listening to books while you travel or work out, be sure to go to audible.co.uk or audible.com to check out the audio version of The Fitness Mindset. You can listen to a 3-minute sample on there, or you can download the full book. Also, last thing before you leave, if you try Clean Cut Meals, the sponsors of today's episode, be sure to enter the code BKF at the checkout to get your 20% off your first order. Clean Cut Meals are doing all my food for my next adventure challenge coming early next year. I'll be announcing more about that during next month's podcast, and I'm just waiting actually on medical clearance. Ugh, yikes. So stay tuned for that, and remember, code BKF at the checkout for 20% off your first order. Catch you all next week.